We're holding on Lamed Zayin Omid Beis at Mishnah at the bottom of the page. Continuing on the topic of things that have to be said in Lashon Kodesh, at the beginning of the Perek, we had a whole list of them. And now we're going through the ones that the dinim of them are not discussed anywhere else, are not discussed in detail anywhere else in Shas, of which one of them is Birkas Kohanim. So the Mishnah says, Birkas Kohanim Ketzad. What does it mean, Birkas Kohanim, that it has to be done in Lashon Kodesh? Ketzad, how is it done? So before we had, sometimes Ketzad meant, how do we know that it's that it has to be done in Lashon Kodesh? Here the Mishnah doesn't mean that. The Gemara is going to give us the derivation of it. But and we had it briefly before. We had it briefly before in the Perek as well, at the beginning of the Perek. But now we're going to focus more on how is Birkas Kohanim done. So first of all, b'medina oima oisa shalosh brachas. Outside the Beis Mikdash, the Kohanim say it as three brachas. The way that we do it nowadays, where after every pasuk, they stop and everybody answers amen. Uba Mikdash bracha achas. But in the Beis Mikdash, they did it all as one long bracha. They didn't interrupt between the three psukim. Instead, they said all the way straight from Yevarechcha until Yasim Lachashalim, and only then would everybody answer. And we'll see in the Gemara later on Daf Mem why that was so. Basically, the idea boils down to, because you don't say Amen in the Beis Mikdash, which we've talked about that before. We've learned before that in the Beis Mikdash, instead of saying Amen, they would say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vayim, or Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Mineh Olam Vado Olam, rather. Another difference, but Mikdash Omeres Hashem Kiksavoy, in the Beis Mikdash, they said Hashem's name in Birkas Kohanim as it's written. They actually pronounced the name Yudkei Vavkei. Or Medina, but outside the Beis Mikdash, Bekinuyoi, then instead of using Yudkei Vavkei, instead they pronounce it Adnai, like we do nowadays all the time. There are places where Rashi seems to imply that that there were times when they would use even more than the name Yudkei Vavkei. They'd use the name of the Hashem's name of 12 letters. But here Rashi just says that Kiksave means Yudkei and Kinuya means Aleph Dal. Another difference, but Medina Koinim Nosin Esidayim Kenegiv Kisvehen. Outside the Beis Mikdash, the Koinim lift up their hands up to the level of their shoulders. But in the Beis Mikdash, al gabe roshehen, then they lift it up higher above their heads. So they need to lift up their hands to their shoulders, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, we're going to have a series of brises in the Gemara that talk about the different dinim of Birkas Kohanim. So here the Mishnah is not really going into those dinim. Those it leaves for the brises, the individual criteria that we need to be done by Birkas Kohanim. The Mishnah doesn't go into them. It's really more focusing on the things we wouldn't have otherwise known, the differences between the Beis Mikdash and everywhere else. But the point is, we're going to see in the Gemara, you need Nesiyas Kapayim, you need to actually lift up the hands for Birkas Kohanim. But they don't need to lift it up higher than their shoulders, as opposed to in the Beis Mikdash, since they're using the Shema Mefodash, Rashi says, and the Shechina rests on their fingertips, therefore they have to lift them up higher than their heads out of respect for the Shechina. With that said, there are Rishonim that the Raivad learns that it doesn't mean that they can't lift it up above their heads in the Medina. It just means they don't have to. According to him, you could even in the Medina, you could lift them up higher than your head if you wanted to. You just don't have to. But in the Beis Mikdash, they have to lift up their heads above their hands above their heads, because the Shechina rests on their hands. Now we do say to a certain extent, that the Shechina rests on the Kohanim's hands even nowadays, which is why the Kohanim cover themselves with the talis and we cover ourselves with the talisim. But we shouldn't stare at them and lose our kavana. Really, the primary thing about the Shechina resting on their hands is really only in the Beis Mikdash when they're using the name of Hashem as it's written, Yudkei Vavkei, or even the name of 12 letters or whatever. So that's another difference. Chutz mi Kohen Gadol, with the exception of the Kohen Gadol, she'enim agbiya yadov l'mayel minatzitz. Even in the Beis Mikdash, he never raises his hands higher than tzitz, because the tzitz that's on his forehead has Hashem's name written on it, Kodesh LaHashem, and therefore it wouldn't be respectful for him to raise up his hands higher than that. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, Maaf Kohen Gadol, Magbiya Yadu L'mayla Minatzitz. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that no, the Kohen Gadol also lifts up his hands above, further up than the tzitz, and the fact that Hashem's name is written on the tzitz is not a big deal, because after all, you have Hashem's Shechina resting on his hands. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Vayisa Aaron as Yodav ala Amba Yivarchem." The pasuk says Aaron, and he was the Kohen Gadol, lifted up his hands to the people and benched them. So there are some of the Rishonim learn that Rabbi Yehuda is that's all part of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, and Rabbi Yehuda is bringing a proof that even the Kohen Gadol raises hands as high as possible, because after all, it says "Vayisa Aaron as Yodav," without saying that he lifted it up only to a certain height. On the other hand, there are Mefoshim, the Tosfos Yomtov, and others who learn that no, this is not part of Rabbi Yehuda's proof, because how do you have a proof from there? You don't really have anything clearly in the pasuk that says that he lifted up his hands only to below the level of the tzitz. Rather, they say this is a general thing. The Mishnah is saying, how do we know that Nasiyas Kapayim, how do we know that Duchening requires Nasiyas Kapayim, requires the lifting of the hands, is because we see in that pasuk. So it's not part of Rabbi Yehuda's statement. It's a more general thing that the Tana is saying, having established that the regular Kohenim raise their hands to one height in the Beis Mikdash and a different height outside of it, and the Kohen Gadol has different rules as well, then how do we know in general that there is such a thing as raising up your hands for Birkas Kohenim? And the answer is from that pasuk. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to bring a series of braises that are going to deal with the details of Birkas Kohenim. Altogether, we're going to end up saying there are six criteria that you need for Birkas Kohenim to be kosher. It has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, as we said in the Mishnah. It has to be done standing. It has to be with the hands lifted up, like we said in the Mishnah. It has to be in the Beis Mikdash with the Shema Mefodosh. It has to be ponim keneged ponim. So all those things, and those we'll see as we go through those six different criteria that we need in order for it to be kosher. So we're going to go through. We're going to go with a series of braises. They're going to go through these six things and show how each one of them is hinted at in the pasuk, and each one is ikuva. Each one is required, and if not, then the duchening is possible. And in other words, they haven't been yotze the mitzvah. Then the sixth one is bekel rum. It has to be done loud. Okay, so first of all, Tanya Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when it says Koisavarhu, when it says like this is how you should bless the Jewish people, that means Beloshen HaKodesh, that means they have to speak in Loshen Kodesh. Now, Ata Omer Beloshen HaKodesh, in El B'chol Loshen, how do you know? Maybe Koisavarhu means it could be in any language. It just means that you have to, you have to use this phrasing, but you don't have to use the exact wording. No, Nemakan Koisavarhu, the Nemalahalan Ela Yamdu Lavarichasa'am. We have by Har Grizim and Har Evil that we just discussed the last couple of days. It says these Shvatim should stand over there to bless the people. So you have Gzeira Shava between that and Koisavarhu. Malahalan Beloshen HaKodesh, just like over there it was in Loshen Kodesh, and we learned that at the beginning of the Perek, because we learn in turn from Gzeira Shava that it says by Matan Torah. Afkan, Beloshen HaKodesh, the same way here, Birkas Kohenim has to be in Loshen Kodesh. Tosfos brings up the point, well, we have also another bracha that the Torah tells us to say, is the bracha is benching. That's one of the only brachas that's Daraisa. And benching, we learned at the beginning of the Perek, can be done in any language. So why don't we instead make a Gzeira Shava from there and say that the same way as benching can be done in any language, so can Birkas Kohenim. And the answer is, Tosfos says, because both by Birkas Kohenim and by the brachas on how grizim and how evil, the Torah tells us the exact nusach, as opposed to Birkas Hamazon. Yes, the Torah tells us there's a mitzvah to bench Birkas Hamazon, but it doesn't tell us the exact nusach. It left it up for first Moshe, then Yeshua, etc., to compose the actual nusach. So therefore, there's less of a reason to make a Gzeira Shava from that. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Tzarich. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need to learn it that way. You don't need a Gzeira Shava. Harei Omer Koi, After all, the word koi itself means ad sheyomer b'loshon hazeh, means they have to say it in exactly these words. As we learned at the beginning of the perek that the chachamim would say only when it says kocha does it mean that you have to use the exact words by chalitza. It says kocha, and therefore we learn from that it has to be the exact word. They don't hold that koi means anything different, whereas Rabbi Yehuda does. Bichlam Lefoshim point out with this and all the following braises, each one of them begins with the words koi sevorchu, but then we end up dowshining the thing that needs to be done. We end up dowshining from a different pasuk. So why are we even beginning each braise with koi sevorchu? So one idea is once we have the gzeira shavo or whatever it is that we learn the individual thing of these six things, then it ends up that all of that is kind of included in koi sevorchu. In other words, the braises, each one are beginning koi sevorchu. You should know Hashem is telling you, it's telling the Kohenim to bench the Jewish people a certain way. What is that way? Here, let me give you one of the six criteria that you need, and you'll see how we know it. So we're not really learning from Koy Sevorchu according to the Chachamim, but we're saying that that's kind of an introduction to each Braisa. Okay, so that's the first one. The first criterion is it has to be done in Lashon Kodesh. Tanya Idach, now we learn in a second Braisa, Koy Sevorchu means Ba'amida. When it says this is how you should bench the Jewish people, means you have to be standing. Now, ata omer ba'amida, so you're saying it means that the Kohenim have to be standing. Oyena ela afilu b'yeshiva. Maybe it could be that they're sitting. Again, we have a gzeira shava. Nema kan koy sevorchu v'nema l'halon ela yamdu l'vorech. By how grisim and how evil, it says these should stand to bless. So ma l'halon ba'amida, afkan ba'amida. So therefore, just like over there was standing, here also it needs to be standing. It means the Kohenim need to be standing, by the way. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that in principle, the people could be sitting. Lamaisa were noyig to stand anyway. But in Ikra Din, the people could be sitting and just the Kohenim would be standing. There is some discussion about some of these things, whether they're absolutely ma'akiv. For example, if you have a Kohen who can't stand up, is he still able to duchen? The general understanding among the poskim is that all these six things that we're saying over here are ma'akiv, and therefore if he can't do any of them, then he can't do them. Anyway, Rav Nosson Omer Einet Tzarich. Rav Nosson says you don't need that gzeira shava. Harehu Omer L'shorser L'vorach Bishmoy, because you have a pasuk in Parashas Shoftim that mentions that the Kohenim are there to serve Hashem and to bless in His name. So therefore, we have a hekish between those two. Mamashores ba'amida, af mevorech ba'amida. Therefore, we learn just like the serving in the Beis Hamikdash has to be done standing, so the giving the bracha has to be done standing. And Rav Nosson, the reason why Rav Nosson prefers that rather than the gzeira shava is Rashi explains because it is possible to slog up the gzeira shava, as the Gemara is going to point out soon. About a different one of these six braises that. Rashi points this out in connection with later on, one of the things where Rav Yonason is going to point out a problem with one of these gzeira shavas where you can slug it up. But here you have, after all, just because it says Eila Yamdu L'Vorech HaSa'amal HaGrizim, you could argue there you had the whole Jewish people, there you had a whole bunch of Barachas HaKlalas, etc. So maybe it's not exactly the same thing. So therefore he would prefer to learn it from a Hekish between L'Shorso, L'Vorech B'Shmoy, and a Hekish. The rule is Ein Meshivin Ala Hekish, unlike a gzeira shava where you can find a logical reason to slug it up, show that the two things are not really comparable. A hekesh, you can't do that. So therefore, he's going to learn it from a hekesh instead, from shiros. Or mesharis gufay menolon. Well, then how do we know that the person who serves in the Beis Hamikdash himself has to be standing? Dichtiv lamed l'sharis, because the pasuk says, the pasuk speaks of to stand and to serve. Now, actually, Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, points out that the very same pasuk that we just quoted, L'shorso L'vorach B'shmoy, where Rav Nosson has his hekesh from, earlier in that same pasuk, it says, Lamud L'fnei Hashem, L'shorso L'vorach B'shmoy. So why do we need a different pasuk to mention Lamud? Here, you have the L'shorso L'vorach B'shmoy is a pasuk in Parashas Ekev. The other one, Lamed L'Shores, is from Parashas Shoftim. So the one in Parashas Ekev itself uses the word Lamed. So why do we need to bring in the pasuk from Parashas Shoftim? So Gilyon HaShas leaves, he refers to a number of different Sforim that that deal with that deal with this issue. One of them, as he mentions, so there are a few different achronim that deal with various angles on this issue. Maybe indeed we would say that if we only had the one pasuk, we would say it applies only in the Beis Mikdash, and the second one teaches us that it applies everywhere else as well. With that said, he brings from the Smag, who says that it would be mutter if a kohen, for whatever reason, can't stand. The Smag learns that it would be mutter to sit to do birkas kohenim. So in fact, he has that Reb Nosson is learning from the word lamoid in that same pasuk. So there is some discussion among the poskim whether maybe this one is not la'ikuv. Maybe after all, the kohen could sit and do birkas kohenim. Although I think in Shulchan Aruch it's paskin not like that. Whatever the case, the point is that you do have that comparison, and therefore you have the same way as the service in the Mishmetash had to be done standing, so does Birkas Kohenim. It does bring in Shulchan Aruch, we don't say that Hekesh applies across the board. After all, Birkas Kohenim is not an Avodah, it's only compared to an Avodah, so we do have some differences. For example, a Baal Mum is able to Duchen. In the Mishnayos, in the Gila, it mentions a couple of Mumim, that if a Kohen has them, he's not allowed to Duchen, but that's more because everybody's going to stare at him, and it's going to distract them from their Kavanah. But other than that, a Kohen Baal Mum is able to Duchen, even though he wouldn't be able to serve in the Beis Mikdash. And you have a few other exceptions like that as well, where somebody would not be allowed to serve in the Beis Mikdash, but he would be allowed to Duchen. So that was the second Braisa. So far we have it has to be done in Lashon Kodesh, and it has to be done standing. Tanya Idoch, then we have a third Braisa. Kosevochu means benesias kapayim, means they have to lift up their hands. Ata oimer benesias kapayim, eina ela shaloi benesias kapayim. Maybe not, maybe duchening does not have to be done with their hands raised. Again, nemakan kosevochu, venemel halen, raisa aronis, yodavala umvaye vorchein. You have a gzera shava between the first time that Aaron blessed the people by the Chanukah Mishkan. Mala halen benesias kapayim, afkan benesias kapayim. So just like over there, he did it with his hands lifted, the same way it has to be in future generations as well. But Reb Yonason has a question on that. That doesn't seem to be a valid Gzeira Shava. Tosfos says, now this is not part of the Reb Yonason himself as a Tana. However, Kasha Leila Reb Yonason is not part of the Braisa. It's actually the Gemara. The Gemara is bringing in that you should know, having quoted this Braisa, you should know Reb Yonason disagreed with it on the basis that we're going to say. Tosfos says, in fact, in Sifri, Reb Yonason argues with this derivation and uses a different wording. Same basic point, but he phrases it differently. Anyway, Reb Yonason asks, "E mala halan kohen god over a shchodesh va'avodas tzibur." By that logic, you should say that just like by Aaron, it was the kohen gadol, and it was on Rosh Chodesh because it was the eighth day of the miluim, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it was only by the avodah of the tzibur. Afkan kohen god over a shchodesh va'avodas tzibur. Maybe we should say that when do you need to lift up your hands? When do the kohenim need to lift up their hands? Is only when you have all those factors. So how do you know that it applies? How do you know that it applies on all other days? How do you know that it applies even to the regular Kohenim and not the Kohen Gadol? Reb Nosson says, and actually in Sifri, you have it over there, it's Reb Yonason himself continues and says, "Ein et tzarech." No, you don't need the Gzeira Shava to learn it. You have a different way. And again, having schlugged up the Gzeira Shava, then he preferred to learn it from a hekesh. And again, a hekesh, you can't shlug up. So therefore, that's a much better way of doing it. Then we can't say, but over there it was only Aaron and it was only Avodah Tzibur and so forth, because a hekesh, you can't shlug up. And because Harehu Omer, Hu Uvan of Kolayomim, the same pasuk that we quoted before and said, Lamed Lashoris Lefnei Hashem, pasuk in Parashas Shoftim, continues, he and his sons all the days, so Makish Bon of Loi. Therefore, that means there's a hekish between his sons, between Aaron's sons and himself. Mahu Benesius Kapayim, Afbon of Benesius Kapayim. Just like he had to raise his hands, so do his children, the regular Kohenim. Uchtiv Kolayomim, and the pasuk continues, all the days, implying that it's not only special days such as Rosh Chodesh or when they're doing Korbanos Tzibur. The itkash bracha l'shirus, and again, we have the same. We have. It's true that that pasuk doesn't mention benching the people. It just says lamed l'shirus. But we have before the hekesh between bracha and shirus from the pasuk from Parshas Ekev, where it says lamed the lifnei Hashem l'shoseh l'vorach b'shmai. So therefore, so we use one hekesh and then another hekesh, and that tells us that the same rule that applied to Aaron when he first gave Birkas Kohanim at the end of the Chanukah Samishkan, the same way every time and every Kohen who does it. Tosfos actually mentions, by the way, that really it is still true that we do say it only applies by avodas tzibur, because the fact is, it's true, when a yochid brings his korbanos, the kohenim don't go and duchen afterwards. The duchening in the Bais Hamikdash took place during the process of bringing the korban tamid. They would put they would put the limbs of the korban tamid on the ramp of the mizbeach. Then they would go and say certain parts of davening, and then they would go and do birkas kohenim. Tosfos says the same thing would happen by Musaf and by Talmud Rabbeinu Habayim, and they would bench the people after each one of those korbanos. Not everybody agrees with that, by the way. There are Rishonim, I think the Rambam learns that they duchen even in the Bais Hamikdash only in the morning. But in any case, the point is, it's true that they didn't duchen every time a yochid brought a korban. So that part of it, then it's true. We don't really have an argument about that. It is true that it happens only by korbanos tzibur and not by korbanos yochid. No, well, I mean, on weekdays they don't have korban musaf, but yeah, maybe. But Tosfos learns that they did it by each korban sibur. The Rambam, I think, holds they did it only in Shachris. Anyway, only by Talmud Shachar. Anyway, the point is, we have shown though that the concept of raising up your hands applies not only to the Kohen Gadol but to all the other Kohenim because of the first hekesh, because of the hekesh between Loy Ulavonov, and also that it applies to all times, not just Rosh Chodesh or other special occasions, because it says Kol Hayom. Okay. So that takes care. So far we have then Loshon Kodesh, standing, and Nesius Kapayim. V'tanya Idach, now we come to the fourth Braisa. Kos Tevoruch Hu Bnei Yisrael means B'Shem HaMefodesh, means that they have to bench the Jewish people with the Shema Mefodesh, again, with the four-letter name of Hashem, as it's supposed to be pronounced, not the way we pronounce Adonai. So after Omer and Shema Mefodesh, in El Bekinui, maybe not, maybe even in the Bais Hamikdash, they could be using any other name of Hashem. Tosfos actually brings from Rabbeinu Hillel, who has a Pirush on Sifri, who says that it would mean that they could even use a different name of Hashem, such as maybe conceivably, like this, it says in the Psukim Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yivarecha Avai Hashem V'yishmerecha, Yer Hashem Ponev Elecha, etc. But this Rabbeinu Hillel learns that actually conceivably the Braisa is saying that outside the Bais Hamikdash, they could actually, if they wanted, say Yivarecha Lekim V'yishmerecha, or Yivarecha Kel V'yishmerecha, or whatever. Tosfos says, come on, you're going to actually change the words of the pasuk? No, it just means, in other words, to say, to use Adonai, to pronounce it Adonai the way that we do every time we have the name Havaya in davening, as opposed to actually pronouncing it the way it's written, which we can't do outside the Bais Hamikdash. And Mefoshim say, maybe we could justify what Rabbeinu Hillel is saying. Look, once you're not pronouncing it the way it says in the Pasuk anyway, maybe conceivably you could substitute any other name of Hashem, because after all, Adonai is not the exact same meaning as Havaya either. But anyway, that's not the halacha. The halacha is you have to actually say it with the Shem Havaya. I mean, with Shem Havaya as pronounced in the appropriate place, the actual name as it's written in the Bais Hamikdash, and as Adonai outside the Bais Hamikdash. Anyway, so the Braisa is saying, so you have to use the Shema Mefodesh. After Omer B'Shema Mefodesh and El B'Kinui, maybe you could use the name Adonai even in the Bais Hamikdash. No, Talmud Lomar, but somewhere Shmi. Therefore, the pasuk continues, they should place my name, which implies Shmi HaMiyuchad Li, my name that is unique to me. All the other names of Hashem are sometimes used of other entities as well. Elikim, we know, is sometimes used of Getchkes. Kale is a general word that means powerful. All the other ones also. So only Havaya is reserved, so to speak, Hashem's personal name. So Yochol Ach B'Gvulim Kane. Well, you would think the same thing applies then outside the Bais Hamikdash as well. No. Nemakan v'Samu Es Shmi v'Nema L'Halom Losum Es Shmoi. Because you have a different pasuk that speaks of Hashem choosing the place where He will place His name, and that is the Bais Hamikdash. So, Los Shumas Shmoi Shom. So Mala Halam Besam Khira, just like that word, Lasumas Shmoy Sham, refers to the Beis Mikdash, Afkan, the Besam Khira. The same way over here, when do you use the Shem Havaya as written? Where do we use Shmi HaMiyuchad Li? Only in the Beis Mikdash. And again, Rabbi Yoshiya Omer Ein Tzarich. Rabbi Yoshiya says you don't need that Zera Shava. You have a different way of learning it. Harehu Omer, you have at the end of Parshas Yisroel, Hashem says, B'chol HaMokam Asher Azkir Es Shmi Ovei Elecha. In every place where I mention my name, I will come to you. Now you have to ask, what does that mean? B'chol Mokam Safgadach. What does that mean? In every place you're allowed to mention the Shem HaMefodosh, we have, the Gemara mentions in Pesachim, that you have when Hashem first speaks to Moshe by the snare, and Moshe asks him, what's your name? And Hashem tells him, Zeshmi la'olam v'zeh zichri l'dor dor. Implying, in other words, that there are two names. There's a Shem that's Zeshmi, but it's not meant to be pronounced everywhere. V'zeh zichri l'dor dor. This is my remembrance from generation to generation, meaning, in other words, that the name is only supposed to be used in certain restricted contexts, And zichri, the way of remembering Hashem, which is to use the Shem Adonai, that you can do in all times and in all places. So we see from that pasuk alone that you cannot pronounce the Shem Havaya anywhere. So therefore, how could you be saying b'chol mokum, b'chol amokum asher azkir shmi, any place where I mention my name? And after all, the Shechina doesn't rest everywhere. So what do you mean b'chol mokum, in every place the Shechina is resting? What it means is Rabbi Yoshiya says, Ella mikras and besorasu. Rather, you have to understand this pasuk is actually flipped around. The pasuk is actually you have to rearrange the words in the pasuk. B'chol mokam asher ovei elecha overachticha, in every place where I come to you and bless you by having the Shechina rest there, shom azkiras shmi. There I give you permission to mention my name, the Shem HaMefodosh. Where is that place? Only in the Beis Mikdash, and of course also in the Mishkan before it. Sham askiras shmi beveis abchira, and there I'll mention. There I allow my name to be mentioned, meaning only in the Beis Abchira. So only in the Beis Abchira do you have permission for that, but nowhere else. So when we're saying that the somewhat shmi amiyuchad li, necessarily that one has to be only in the Beis Mikdash, because outside the Beis Mikdash, based on these other psukim, you wouldn't be able to do that. Now Tosfos points out actually that we find in the Gemara in Yuma that ever since Shimon HaTzadik passed away, the Kohenim stopped using the Shem HaMefodosh in Birkas Kohenim. Now, based on what we're saying over here, how could they do that? In the Beis Mikdash, they're supposed to use the Shem HaMefodosh. So Tosfos says, because the vort is, after Shimon HaTzadik's times, they didn't have the same Gilui Shechina in the Beis Mikdash as they had before that. Therefore, if we're saying over here, it depends on the degree of Gilui Shechina, there was a lessening of that Gilui Shechina in the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, automatically, then that heter to use the Shem Havaya as pronounced goes away, and therefore they stopped using it.
Even the Kohanim,
that's what we're talking about. So the Gemara mentions in Kiddushin that the Yechidus Gula would teach it to their Talmidim once every 7 years. Eventually, of course, the correct pronunciation of it was forgotten altogether. We don't know it at all. Like this, when we see in the Siddurim and the Chumashim, that's pointed with a Shva under the Yud and a Cholam by the Hay and so forth. And, you know, you have the Goyim will pronounce it that way, you know, Jeho, you know, whatever. Those are the Nekudus of the Shem Adonai. That's not the actual way it's meant to be pronounced. The actual Nekudus that it's supposed to be pronounced with, we don't know anymore. But in any case, the point is that ever since the time of Shimon HaTzadik, then the Gemara is saying they stopped using it in Birkas Kohanim as well. So Tosfos is saying, because the fact is there was a lesser Gilui Shechina, the Rambam, on the other hand, says in Hilchos Birkas Kohanim that it was because they were concerned that unworthy people might use it. So therefore, in other words, according to him, it was one of these examples of sort of like Eslas Eslashem, because it was an emergency situation, because people are misusing it. Therefore, the Chachamim of that time decided that we can't use it in Birkas Kohanim anymore, because then anybody's going to find it out and they're going to use it for unworthy purposes. So that's the fourth thing that's needed for Birkas Kohanim. Now we learn in another braisa. This one is not one of the six things that are. This actually is kind of a seventh thing. It's not really one of the criteria that's needed for Birkas Kohanim to be kosher. We're just saying who is included in it. When it says Kohanim, Bnei Yisrael, Ein Li Ela Bnei Yisrael. So you would think that means only the born Jewish people, and only the men, maybe sometimes Bnei Yisrael. I mean specifically the men. Geirim noshim ba'avodim meshachrorim minayin. How do we know that geirim and women and freed slaves are also included in the bracha? And there are actually some people, some mafoshim will take out the word meshachrorim and say that maybe it even includes avodim as in avodim knanim. After all, they're chayiv in the same mitzvahs that women are generally. Anyway, tom and lama omer lahem. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Say to them," implying lechulu. So it goes to all of them. So the bracha is the bracha is being given to all of them. Now, continuing with the criteria for Birkas Kohanim, Tanya Idoch, Kosevochum means ponim keneged ponim. They have to be doing it face to face. So the Kohanim face the people, and the people are facing them. After I'm a ponim keneged ponim, so you're saying it means face to face, oh, you ain't a ponim keneged odef. Maybe not. Maybe it can be front to back. Maybe the Kohanim have to be facing the Tzibur, fine. But maybe the Tzibur doesn't have to be facing them. Maybe the Tzibur could be facing in any direction. No, Tamud Lema, Omer Lahem, therefore the Pasuk says, say to them, and that means Ka'odim Omer Lachaveri, like when one person is speaking to the other, you speak face to face. So therefore we see from that for the Birkas Kohanim also has to be face to face. For that reason, it mentions in the Siddur that the people shouldn't be going this way and that. And even then in Hayom Yom, it talks about that you tilt a little bit by Yivarecha, to your face towards the middle, and by Hashem a little bit towards the right, and then so forth, and you keep on going back and forth between right and left. But basically you're still facing towards the Kohanim. You're turning a little bit in one direction or the other, but you're not turning completely aside.
Does it work out when we bend the same one way, Kriyan bend the same way?
No, the Kohanim themselves have I'm not sure, the Kohanim themselves when they're duchening, I'm not sure if they're doing in the same directions as we are, but it doesn't matter. They're basically facing us and we're basically facing them. So the fact that it's a few degrees off because we're turning one way or the other doesn't matter. With that said, we're going to discuss in the Gemara later on that sometimes you have the Kohanim can be duchening for people who aren't even in shul. That's different because the Gemara is going to say later there's an oinus and therefore they're included as well. But other than that, when they're in shul, they have to be ponim keneged ponim. Next, and the last braisa, Tanya Edoch, Kosev Orchum means bekel rom. It has to be out loud. So, oyd ein el balachash, maybe not, maybe it could even be in a whisper. No, Tamad Lema, Omer Lahem, again, Ka'odam Sha'omer Lachaveira, again, it has to be the way a person is speaking to somebody else where he speaks in a normal tone of voice. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it explained, it doesn't mean that Kol Rom doesn't mean they have to be screaming it for that same reason. You know, the person doesn't speak to his friend like that. It means it has to be, the expression in it has to be Ma'ula Shabakola. So it has to be like the best quality voice, like loud enough to be heard, but not screaming. Tosfos points out, by the way, that really we shouldn't have needed that. We should have been able to learn by Exeter Shava from how Grisim and how Eva, where it also says Kol Rom. And the answer is that, Tosfos says, you're right, Reb Yehuda, who doesn't learn from Exeter Shava from how Grisim, that it has to be in Lashon Kodesh, he learns from the word Koi, that it has to be exactly like that. So according to him, you don't have a source by Birkas Kohanim that should be Kol Rom, and you have to learn it from Omer Lahem. But it's true that according to the Chachamim, who are learning by Exeter Shava, they could have just as well learned this as by Exeter Shava. Now that we went through these braises, so we have six things that have to be by Birkas Kohanim in order for it to be kosher. Five of them everywhere, and one of them, and one more of them only in the Bais Hamikdash. Shem HaMikdash. Okay, so now let's talk about some dinim of Birkas Kohanim. Amar Abaye Naktinan, we have the Kabbalah from our Rabbeim, the Shnayim Koda Kohanim, or La Echad Ena Koda Kohanim. When there are at least two Kohanim duchening, then he calls out Kohanim, and then Rashi explains at that point, up until that point, they were facing towards the Oren Kodesh to Davin, and the Gemara is going to bring later on the Yehiratzin that they say before that. Now, when he says Kohanim, they turn around to face the Tzibur. Ola Echad, ain't a Koda Kohen, but when there's only one Kohen duchening, then he doesn't say Kohen.
Not even one.
Shenema Omer Lahem L'shnayim, because the word Omer Lahem implies that it has to be to at least two of them. Now, you have... Elsewhere, the Gemara explains, elsewhere in Masech Megillah, where the Gemara also deals a little bit with the dinim of Birkas Kohanim, Rabbeinu Tam holds over there the Chazan shouldn't, the Rabbeinu Tam holds the Chazan shouldn't be the one who calls out Kohen. because it would be a hefsek in davening. He's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. He's in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. What's he doing calling out Kohenim? So Rabbeinu Tam actually holds that it should be somebody else who calls out Kohenim. On the other hand, what do we do? So we have the tefillah Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu. Really, it's meant to substitute for Birkas Kohenim. Really, we only say it usually at the tefillahs where there's no Birkas Kohenim, and the Chazan says it instead to remember Birkas Kohenim. But the minhag developed instead that the Chazan says that in his Chazaras Hashatz, and then when it comes to the word Kohenim, he calls it out loud, and therefore there's no problem. That's not considered a hefsek in davening because it's part of the tefillah that he's saying. But the difference is, if there's only one Kohen, then he says the word Kohenim out loud. Then he says the word Kohenim quietly. And if there's two or more, then he calls it out loud.
Maybe himself, he's only for his own Kohenim, that you don't.
If he himself is a Kohen, that's something else. That's the next thing we're going to talk
about. No, I'm saying if the word says Kohenim, there's only one Kohen, maybe the one Kohen should bench.
No, it still means that there still needs to be, because there's still a mitzvah to bench the people.
Even one, but
you don't announce the word Kohenim, right? But again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Chazan shouldn't be doing that at all. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it would have to be somebody else does it. There's actually the Vilna Gaon actually was manhig like that in his shul, and there are kahilas in Eretz Yisrael that follow Minhag Agra. I don't know if they follow this particular one, but if they do, then it would mean that the Kohen does not say the Chazan does not say Lekeinu Lekei Aviseinu, and instead somebody else in the tzibur calls out Kohen. Okay, anyway. The Amr Rav Chista. Rav Chista says here is another being. Naktinan, we have the Kabbalah from our Rabbeim, Koyen, Koyre Koyenim, the Ein Yisro Koyre Koyenim. Only when the Chazan himself is a Koyen, then he calls out the word Koyenim. But if the Chazan is a Yisro, he does not call out Koyenim, says Rav Chista. In fact, Tosfos brings from the Yoshalmi that says the other way around. Rav Chista is saying the Chazan Davka should be a Yisro, because he should be the one calling out to the Kohenim. And when it says Omer Lahem, as the Gemara is going to say, implies that, let's learn our Gemara first, and then we'll talk about what Tosfos is saying. So Rav Chista is saying, Kohen, Kohen, Kohenim, Ve'en Yisrael, Kohen, Kohenim. Shenema, because the pasuk is Omer Lahem, and Rav Chista Daushin, that means Amiru Mishalahem Tehei, means the saying should be done from one of their own. So Omer Lahem, one of their own should be calling out Kohen. However, the Gemara says, "V'hiruchsa kavasei da'abaya." Now, the halacha is like abaya that you only say koyanim if there's two or more koyanim. V'less hiruchsa kavasei de Rav Chista. The halacha is not like Rav Chista. Whether the chazan is a koyan or a Yisrael, either way, you can call out koyan. So here's where Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi in Megillah that says the other way around. Rav Chista is saying the chazan davka should be a Yisrael. And then it continues that no, even a koyan. Could even a kohen could call kohenim, but what it brings in Shulchan Aruch is l'chatchila the chazan when it comes to duchening should not be a kohen, but if he is, then he'll still say kohenim. Whether he duchens with the people, that actually we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara. Yeah. But b'derech klal, we try to be mahadir. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the chazan, especially in Chutzlar, that's where we duchen only on Yom Tov, that the chazan should be a Yisrael, because that way, when we have Omer Lahem, it means that he is saying to them to bench the people rather than he himself being a Kohen, where there wouldn't be really Omer Lahem, because therefore he himself has a mitzvah to bench the people as well. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of statements of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Most, the first couple of them having to do with Birkas Kohenim, and then the others are talking about other matters. So the Gemara gives a siman to them. Siman misava lebracha duchan ba'avoda kois makir nena be'egla. All of these are key words of the statements that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is going to say in our Gemara. The first one, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, minayin shakadosh baruch hu misava lebirkas kohenim. How do we know that Hashem desires Birkas Kohenim? Hashem, after all, wants to bench the Jewish people, and the brach comes through the Kohenim. So how do we know that Hashem wants the Kohenim to bench the people so that he can give the Shefa of bracha through it? In many places in Chassidus, by the way, it talks about that the brachas of Birkas Kohenim are much higher. You have to ask, why does Hashem need the Kohenim? He can bench the people himself. But the explanation is the bracha that's nimshach through Birkas Kohenim is a much higher level bracha than regular brachas. It says an ad mehera yoritz dvore, that the word comes down quickly unlike the regular brachas from Hashem, which sometimes, you know, there it can be a while before it takes effect. But here you have it in connection with we know in Parshas Korach when they were still arguing whether Aaron is the one appointed by Hashem. So you have the stick that was put over there and Gushkedim. So in Lakuta Torah and Parshas Korach and other places, it talks about the idea that represents the fact, just like Ammon's blossom very quickly, the same way Birkas Kodim comes down and it has an effect in our world much quicker than other brachas. It means also anybody who fights against the Kodim is going to be punished right away, right? But Sidus, it also says the point of it is that Birkas Kodim also has a faster effect than other brachas. Because Hashem puts it through the Kodim, right? So Hashem desires that Shenema, but some was Shmiyah B'nai Yisrael, Ani Avorachem. Hashem says they should place my name on B'nai Yisrael and I will bless them. In other words, Hashem is saying that it depends on the Kohenim, that this way Hashem's name will be placed on the Jewish people. So in other words, Hashem is saying it's not so much the need of the Jewish people, it's more it's my need. I need it in order to be so therefore we see from that Hashem, so to speak, wants it and desires it.
Yeah,
needs a kohen. Right, that's what needs a kohen. And any kohen who benches the Jewish people himself gets a bracha from Hashem. If he doesn't bench the people, he himself doesn't get the bracha. Hashem tells Avraham, I will bless those who bless you. Rashi mentions in this connection, now actually you have like this, there's machloikas in Masechta Chulin, there's machloikas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. When we say Va'ani Avorchem, who is it referring to? Rabbi Akiva holds the Va'ani Avorchem refers to the Jewish people. So V'samuas Shmi'a B'nei Yisrael, the Kohenim place my name on the Jewish people, but then we're going to say to ourselves, well, it's only a bracha from the Kohenim, big deal. No, the Pasuk is saying Va'ani Avorchem, I, Hashem is saying, will bless the Jewish people through the Kohenim. So the Kohenim are giving the bracha, and Hashem, so to speak, agrees to it. Now, on the other hand, you have Rabbi Shmuel over there who says that the Ani Avorchem goes on the Kohenim, that the Kohenim have benched the people. How do the Kohenim themselves get a bracha? Hashem promises, I will give them the bracha. So now, when Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, what he's saying over here, fits more with what Rabbi Akiva says. So Rabbi Akiva, who's saying that the Kohenim bench the people, because in other words, according to Rabbi Yishuv, if it was according to Rabbi Shmuel, he wouldn't need to refer to the pasuk Va'avorcham Avarachecha right there. Va'ani Avarachem would mean when is Hashem going to give the Kohenim a bracha? Only if they bench the people. But because he holds like Rabbi Akiva that Va'ani Avarachem means Hashem agrees with the Kohenim's bracha and gives a bracha to the Jewish people, therefore he needs a different pasuk to tell us that the Kohenim themselves are going to get the bracha only if they bench the people.
Which is the bracha of Avram.
Which is the bracha of Avram, Va'avorcham Avarachecha. Any kohen who doesn't go up to duchen, who doesn't go up to do birkas kohenim, over b'shloisha eser, he's over on three things that it says in the pasuk that he was supposed to be doing it. Koisavochu, omer lahem, v'samu ashmi. Each one of them is a statement where it's saying to the kohenim that they should do it. This is how you should bless the people. Omer lahem means say to them. I mean, say to the people, and we did have before that Omer Lahem also means that the Chazan says to them. The Taz points out that after all, you can douche in the posik, but you also have the simple meaning of the posik. Omer Lahem means that it's being said to them, to the Kohenim, that Omer Lahem say to them. Meaning the Kohenim are supposed to say to the people. So therefore, so in Mikra Yotzim Deb Shurto, so you have that as well. And the third one is with someone to me. So therefore, if he doesn't do that, then he's over on all three of them. So the Rambam, by the way, explains we don't literally mean there aren't actually three mitzvahs asay in here. This is just an example. It means the same way, for example, we talk about, let's say, a person doesn't put on tefillin, he's over on eight mitzvahs asay, but there aren't eight mitzvahs asay among the 613 in tefillin. Just means because the Torah repeats it over and over again. The same way that here, the Torah is repeating it over and over, just stress the importance of it, but not there yet. Okay. Rab Omar, Rab says, not only is he over on three S's, we have to be concerned that maybe he's not duchening because he's in fact not a kohen, he's a cholol. His mother was a grusha or a chalutza. So therefore, so that's an important reason why he should be duchening. And the Gemara says, now actually Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi and Rab are not arguing. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is talking about when occasionally he goes and duchens. So therefore, so now we know that he's a kosher kohen. But he's still being over on the three S's every time he does it. As opposed to Rav is talking about when he never duchens, where there you have reason to be choshesh that he might be a ben grusha or ben chalosa. Tosfos points out that actually there can be other ways that a koyin makes sure to keep the chazaka that he's a koyin. The Gemara in Chulin mentions that Abaya once a year would take the matnas kahuna, the zroi l'chayayim v'keva, from animals that people shechted. He was a koyin. So the Gemara says he wouldn't duchen because he was too busy learning, so he wasn't always available when the tzibur was davening to be able to duchen. But in order to that everybody should realize that he's a koyin and nobody should suspect his lineage, he used to, the Gemara says, whether he used to not take the matnas kahuna because other people could use them more than him. But then he realized he has to have some way of demonstrating that he's a koyin, so he started taking them once a year, Erev Kippur. So here it's a similar kind of thing. With that said, of course, you know, I mean, Chutz La'aretz, we have the Ashkenazic minhag is the duchen only on Yom Tov. We don't mean that, obviously. I mean, you know, that's a well-established minhag. The fact that a kohen is not duchening the rest of the year is no slur against him. That's just how the minhag is. That Amos says, because we're really in Chutz La'aretz, we can really only be happy on Yom Tov. We're not so happy on weekdays and even on Shabbos, even though we're not doing our business, we're still thinking about it. But on Yom Tov, we're able to be really happy. It's brought about a number of Gdolei Yisrael that they wanted to reestablish it in Chutz La'aretz. It's brought about the Vilna Gaon. It's brought, I think, also about the Alter Rebbe. It's brought about different people. And each time there was some simon min hashamayim that they shouldn't, and the attack never happened. The Sfardim, Adar Yemazet, I could do it every day in Chutz La'aretz. Yeah, but, right.
Making David
right. Right.
Drive it down.
Hey. Right. Next, the Omer Rabbi Shurman Levi. Then Rabbi Shurman. Tosfos, by the way, brings an interesting point in this regard. Also, so it's true that if the koyin doesn't want to duchen. Whatever it is, whether because he's busy learning Torah, and give some example of Amiroyim over there, because he's too weak or whatever, then what he should do is leave the shul when they call out Koyanim. Once they call out Koyanim, and then he can come back in, and then yeah. V'omer Rabbi Shimon Levi, kol koyin she'ena oyla ba'avoida shuv ena oyla. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, any koyin who does not go up to the duchen during the bracha ritzei, Shuvayna Ola is not able to go up after that. Shenema by Yisa Aaron as Yodav ala Umbay Baruchim. The pasuk says Aaron lifted up his hands to the people and blessed them, which was Birkas Koyanim. By Yered me'asoy sachatas va'ola v'ashlamim, and then he came down from doing the chatas and the ola and the shlamim. So Mawa Halan ba'avoda. So just like we see over there, that Birkas Koyanim was done in connection with the avoda. So Afkan ba'avoda, the same way over here, Birkas Koyanim has to be associated with the avoda. Now, they don't actually duchen during Ritzei. Of course, they duchen only after Moedim, because the Gemara explains elsewhere that Ritzei and Moedim have to go together. There's a connection between the two brachas, so therefore we don't want to interrupt in the middle of them. But nonetheless, though, we still have to have a connection between duchening and Ritzei, namely that the Kohenim have to go up during Ritzei.
Start going. He comes away from shul. He runs from shul. He can't go up.
As long as he started going up, as the Gemara was going to say in a second, as long as he started moving from his place before the end of Ritzei, then it's fine. Even if he only makes it to the front afterwards, but he has to at least start moving from his place by the beginning, sometime during the bracha Ritzei. Yeah.
So instead of going to start from the middle, which he's at, it's not much.
Yeah. Indeed. So the Gemara, there is actually in Nusach Ashkenaz, there's another connection between the bracha Ritzei and duchening as well. On days when there's duchening in Nusach Ashkenaz, they have a special ending of the bracha instead of the regular bracha ends on Machzor Shnosu Litzia. In Nusach Ashkenaz, they have on days of duchening, they have a special thing over there, Se'orev Aleinu Asir, Se'orev Aleinu Asir, Achalach Asir, Asenim Ka'orev Ka'orevan, and they finish off Sha'os Chalavadcha B'yira Navoit. So that's another connection. In fact, I think it says that one of the reasons why they have that minhag is that way they make the bracha longer. That gives the kohenim more of a chance to come. So yeah, okay. So the Gemara says. So the Gemara asks, "Eini, is that so? They have to come up. They have to be there before Ritzei, before the end of Ritzei." V'Rab Ami v'Rab Asi Salpi. We find that Rab Ami and Rab Asi would go up to Duchen even though they weren't there by the end of Ritzei. And the answer is Rab Ami v'Rab Asi mi'ikra haba akri karayu. They would start moving their feet. They'd start leaving their place from already the bracha ritzei. Mimtol, I have a motto hasam. They just didn't get to the front before the bracha ritzei was finished, but that's fine because they were already in motion. V'chiditoni Rav Oshia, as Rav Oshia, in fact, teachers in a braisa. Lois shonu, elo shaloi okar asraglav. This that we're saying that if he didn't come by the end of ritzei, he can't duchen, is only if he didn't move his feet. Avol okar asraglav oila, but if he moved his feet, then he can come up to duchen. and Utnan Nami. And in fact, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Brachos that also bears on this. The Mishnah talks over there about, first it talks about that the chazan should not answer Omein after Birkas Koinim, because he might get confused and not be able afterwards to finish Chazor Sashat. Remember, then they didn't have written Sidurim, everything was Baal Peh. Then the Mishnah continues that if the chazan is the only Koin in Shul, he shouldn't duchen for the same reason. He might be confused. He might lose track of where he is in davening and not be able to finish afterwards. But the Mishnah continues with the part that we're quoting over here. Im haftachosish anoses kapel b'chozelut filosei, if he's sure that he'll be able to duchen and return to his davening, rashoi, then he's allowed to, then he's allowed to duchen. Now, v'havinan ba, so we have a question on that. What do you mean? Holei okar? What do you mean? He didn't move from his place. He didn't move from his place because by Ritzeh, he's still in the middle of davening by the Yomud. He's still standing over there. So how could he duchen if he didn't move by Ritzeh? El de nod purta. Washing his hands out, he could do it before he starts Chazor Sashatz. But el de nod purta, rather you would have to answer what it means is he moved a little bit. He moved his feet a little bit. Hochanami de oka purta, the same way over here with a koyin everywhere, anywhere else in Shul, as long as he moved a little, showing that he's starting to get up, then it's fine, even if he doesn't make it there by the end of Ritzeh. As far as the halacha about that, actually, by the way, so if indeed on a day of Birkas Koyanim, the chazan is the only Koyan in Shul, then I think the general halacha is that he does duchen, because otherwise they won't be duchening at all. If there are other Koyanim, though, then there's machlokas haposkim, whether he should duchen as well. After all, the mitzvah will be accomplished anyhow, and should he really be leaving the Amud to go up and duchen and then return? So you have, I think, machlokas haposkim about that. I think the general minhag in Chutz La'aretz is that he doesn't, and in Eretz Yisrael, there are different minhagim.
I guess the only reason we don't, because it's the only one can happen.
Yeah, that may be. But
you can go, right.
Okay. Well, that's what we said before. L'chatchila, the Koyin from Musaf, should be a Yisrael, and that way you avoid the whole issue. Right. Okay. I mean, you could imagine, you know, I'm sure there must be in some of these Chabad houses or whatever, you know, you have the only one who's capable of davening by the Yomar is the Shliach. If the Shliach is a Koyin, then yeah. Next. The Amr of Yeshua ben Levi. So now we're going to digress from topics of Birkas Koinim, and Rabbi Shimon Levi is going to talk about some other drushes of his, also having to do with brachas. Ein noistin koistra bracha levarach elo l'toiv ayin. We give the koistra bracha to lead benching only to someone who's generous, not a stingy person. Shenema toiv ayin hu yivorach, as the pasuk says, the one with the good eye, he is blessed. Ki nosan milach meladol, because he gave from his bread to the poor person. So I'll take with yivorach el yivorach. Don't read yivorach, he will be blessed, but yivorach, he's the appropriate one to be benching because he gives of his bread to the poor. Marsho also adds the word milachmoy. The point is because the word yivorach is the word yivorach is written over there. Is written over there without the vav for the cholam. If it was written with a vav, you would have no choice but to read it yivorech. But because it's written without the vav, just the cholam, therefore we're able to instead read it as if it said yivorech. And Maharsha also adds the word milachmo implies from his own bread, the same good quality bread that he himself eats is the same kind that he gives to the poor person. So we see that he's not stingy. So we see that he's a tovah. How do we know, continues Rabbi Shimon Levi, that even birds recognize stingy people and they stay away from them? Because the pasuk says, at the beginning of Mishlei, the net is spread out for nothing in the presence of all the winged creatures, the birds. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains like this: how do hunters, when they want to trap birds, they put out a net. They put out a net and they put grain in it, so birds will come and eat the grain, and they'll get trapped in the net. Meanwhile, what happens is, though, when a stingy person puts out a net like that, the birds even recognize instinctively that he's stingy, and they won't even come to eat his grain, and they won't get trapped in his net. How do they do that? Marshall says the fact is they don't have das. So he says, because what may happen is the stingy person will first put out the net and only then think of putting the grain in it. So meanwhile, the birds have already gotten used to the idea that there's a net over there without anything to attract them, and therefore even when there's grain over there, they don't get attracted to it. Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi also says more on this topic of being stingy. Anybody who has hana from a stingy person is over on a lab. Shenema, another pasuk in Mishlei. Al tuchamas lechem ra'oyin. Don't eat bread of the person who has a bad eye, who is stingy. Tilcham means to eat bread. Abagoimer, ki kamoshar benafshe kenhu, the next pasuk continues, because like sha'ar in his soul, that's how he is. So Rashi explains the word sha'ar over here is a verb meaning to, and Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it means that he makes it bitter, that he like he's putting bitterness into his soul. So either it means of his own soul, like he feels bitter that he has to share his food, or it means he's trying to make the other person feel bitter. Or then he brings from Menachem ben Sodok, one of the famous Uli Medaktikim, who explains this Meloshin Shir. He's always thinking to himself, like the Shir, the amount, like he's always calculating to himself, how much is this guy really going to eat? I can't wait till he's finished. He's going to end up eating all my food. So either it's bitter in his soul or he's constantly calculating in his soul. That's how it is. He's telling you eat and drink, but his heart's not really in it. So we see, since Shlomo is telling us, al tilcham, don't eat with him, then that implies that you're being over on a lav, not a lav minatoda. Of course, we mean a lav medivri kabbalah, but still, in other words, it's a Shlomo is warning you, don't do that. Rav Nachman Yitzchok amar over b'shnei lav, and al tilcham ba'al tisav. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, actually, you have two verbs in the pasuk that Shlomo is warning you not to. He says, don't eat with him, and don't desire his delicacies. So you see that there were two lavim involved of having hanah from such a person. Marshall also adds, by the way, that the word al tilcham also means not just don't do it. It's actually also Shlomo is telling you practically speaking, you won't enjoy it because, in fact, Psukim go on past that to say you're going to end up throwing up whatever you ate. Like, in other words, the guy is going to embitter you so much, as Rashi is saying over here, that you're going to feel like it wasn't even worth it. And you're just going to throw the whole thing up. So you're not even going to enjoy what you ate. So al tilcham, don't even bother eating with him because it's not going to be an eating. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also says the Egla Arufa comes only, which we're going to learn about it extensively in the ninth pen, the last parak of Amasechta, the whole reason why the Egla Arufa has to be brought. The Egla Arufa is, you know, you find the dead body outside the city, you don't know who killed them, and they have to go and measure, find the nearest city, and the skanim of that city bring the Egla Arufa, etc. So what made it happen in the first place? El b'shvil tzorei ha'ayin, because of stingy people. Shenema, because it's the skanim say over there, va'onu va'omru, they have to announce and say, yodenu le'shofkos adam hazeh, our eyes did not spill this blood. Now, we have to ask, as we're going to have in that parak, at the end of the Masechta, v'chi al libenu also, shezikne based in sheikh adamim heim, would we have thought that the zikne based in a murderer, is that they have to say we're not? Ella, what they're saying is, loy baldi adenu v'chanuhu, he didn't come into our attention and we let him go. Without giving him food, we didn't see him and leave him alone. Meaning, he didn't come to our hand. In other words, he wasn't brought to our attention. And we let him go from the food without. We let him go from the city without food. Where therefore he may have died from hunger on the way, or he may have tried to rob somebody else in order to get food. So that didn't happen, they're saying. And we didn't see him leave, and we let him go without accompanying him, because we know that accompanying a guest is a great mitzvah. In other words, though, Marsha says, the point is, the fact is, we do find the dead body. So obviously somebody did do that. So now the result is we have to bring an Egla Arufa. So therefore the Egla Arufa is being brought because the Skanim are saying we didn't know about it. And if we had known, we would have taken steps to avoid it. But obviously, somebody failed to take steps. And therefore, that's why we're ending up bringing an Egla Arufa. And therefore, the Rav Sherman Levi is saying, you see that that's all caused by stingy people who won't give people food and Levaya. Getting back to dinim of Birchas Kohanim, Amrab Ada Amrab Simloi, Beis HaKnesses Shekol HaKohanim Kulon Olam LaDuchan. If the shul is all Kohanim, everybody all the men davening in shul are Kohanim, then all of them go to Duchan. Well, the meme of Orchin, who are they giving the bracha to? Now, the obvious answer could be the women and children in shul. However, the Taz points out, they're not, one second, what you were talking about, you have to mention the whole city. Before you have other people in shul, you have the women and children. The Taz says, though, the fact is that you can't really say they have a chashivus enough of their own to get the bracha directly. The women in general should be getting the bracha through their husband. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that a woman's bracha comes through her husband. The children are not chashiv enough to get a bracha on their own. They are, but nevertheless, they're still children. So the question is, so who are the Kohanim benching? So Amar Rav Zera, l'acheyem shebasonis. So Rav Zera says, they're benching their brothers, the other fellow Jews who are out in the fields and couldn't make it to shul because they're busy working.
I mean, just during the week.
Okay. During the week, we're talking about. If it's Yom Tov, then we mean people who couldn't come to shul for other reasons. So the Gemara asks, so it doesn't mean the whole Jewish people, it means the people in that city. So the Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? So you're telling me that you're telling me that they can be benching the people who are outside the shul. The people who are standing behind the kohenim are not included in the bracha, because we said before the bracha has to be face to face. So how can the people who are working out in the field be included in the bracha? And the answer is like Kasha, it depends whether there's an onus or not. The ones who are out in the field, they're onus because they have to do their work. And in fact, Tosfos brings from Masechta Rosh Hashanah, from the end, that says that only the ones who are out in the fields are onus. The ones who are in town, are expected to show up in shul. And if not, you can't call them onus, unless, of course, they can't come because they're not feeling well or whatever. But the ones in the field are considered onus, Hodoloy Anisi, as opposed to the ones in shul are not onus. They have to if their place in shul is behind the kohenim, then they tack have to move and they have to be in front of the kohenim. In fact, there's an interesting discussion among the poskim. What about, let's say, you have people whose regular place in shul is by the Mizrach band? Do they have to move? On the one hand, you could say maybe to a certain extent they're onus. This is their place. So on the other hand, the poskim say no. Just move from your place a little bit. Move to someplace else in the shul in front of the kohenim temporarily. Yeah, give up your chosh of a place in the Mizrach band and go be in front of the kohenim. Okay. So, but the people who are outside in the fields working, they're onus, so therefore they're included, even though they're not facing the kohen. So the Gemara says, "V'atoni Rav Shimi bi'birta d'shichori." Didn't Rav Shimi from Birta d'shichori teach a brisa based on Knesset Shikula Kohenim Mitzasin Olin Mitzasin Onin? When the shul is all Kohenim, some of them duchen and some of them duchen, and the other ones answer Amen. So not all of them duchen. The answer is like Kasha, Hodi Shtayu Be'asara, Hodloi Shtayu Be'asara. It depends whether you have 10 of them left or not. If you have, let's say, 11 or 12 or more Kohenim, then some of them go to Duchen and 10 of them stay behind to be the Tzibur that they're going to be benching. If you have only exactly 10 Kohenim, and it has to be, you have to have a minion, so therefore you can't, by definition, you can't have less than 10. If you have exactly 10, then all of them Duchen, and then they're Duchening on behalf of Achayim Shabbasadis. This is, by the way, the Poskim explains, that would only be when everybody in shul is a kohen. If you have even one Yisrael or Levi in shul, then he can be the tzibur all by himself, and the 10 kohenim can all go and do 9 kohenim, whatever, can all go duchen, because after all, fundamentally, because kohenim is meant to be to bench Yisrael, so therefore that'll be fine. So there you have an interesting hechitimtzah. Where do you have that one Yisrael is equal to 10 kohenim? There's the answer. One Yisrael all by himself can be the tzibur for Birkas Kohenim, but if it's Kohenim, you need 10 of them. Okay. Gufa, getting back to, we said, Tona Abba Breder Minyamin Bachia, Am Shachoda Kohenim Enin Bachla Bracha. The people who are behind the Kohenim were saying are not included in the Bracha. So, Pshita, now, so we're saying they have to be facing the Kohenim. So now, let's consider. Pshita Arichi Ba'api Gutzi Le'maksepe. Obviously, short people who are standing behind tall people are not, it's not considered a hefsa. Because it actually says, Ein l'dav v'sof, where you're going to have everybody in shul line up by height. So therefore, obviously, that's not a hefsa. What about, also, it's obvious, teva le mafsika. Also, it's obvious that the oron is not mafsik. If you have the bima or the teva or whatever it is, yeah, the oron, if it's standing in the middle of the shul, and in those times the oron was not always in the front of the shul, it's part of the tzodach of what's needed for davening, so therefore it's not considered a hefsik. What about mechitza mai? What about if there's an actual partition in shul? Do the people not, we're not talking about the mechitza for the women, they have to stay behind it, but if there's a partition where some men are behind it, are they obligated to go out from behind that to be ponim upon him to the kohenim, or does it not matter? Now the answer is Tashma, the Omer B'Shob and Levi, Afilu Mechitza Shob Barzel and Mafsechas Ben Yisrael, Aviyam Shob Shemayim, even an iron curtain doesn't separate between the Jewish people and their father in Shemayim. So therefore, yes, even if there's a Mechitza in Shul, they don't have to go out, they don't have to go out from behind it, even if there's no onus. Tosfos says, obviously, if there's onus, then it's no worse than the people out in the field, but even if there's no onus, Then Tosfos says, when the people are behind the kohenim and they don't choose to move, it's like they're showing that the bracha is not even important to them. But where there's a mechitza, they're not standing behind the kohenim, so therefore we can say that mechitza shel barzel doesn't interrupt between them and Hashem, and it's still valid. Tosfos discusses in some detail over here various Gemaras also that talk about a mechitza between people and when people combine together and when they don't. You have certain dinim as far as a minyan where you need everybody to be in the same room or seeing each other and whatever. So we don't always say there that mechitza shel barzel doesn't interrupt, because when it comes to combining together for a minyan, you taka need everybody needs to be in the same place. Tosfos says one more thing. We do have a Gemara that says that ever since the Beis Hamikdash was Charev, there's a iron wall between Yisrael and Avim Shashmaim. So what do you mean? An iron wall does separate us from Hashem. So Tosfos says, but it doesn't mean over here. It means that our tefillah nowadays is not as easily accepted as when the Beis Hamikdash was standing. But as far as whether the tzibur is included in Birkas Kohanim, that it doesn't matter. Even a Mechitza Shel Barzel doesn't interrupt. A Yid is always in front of Hashem, and therefore we're good. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, talking about more dinim of Birkas Kohanim and more dinim and agadah and whatever about Birkas Kohanim. So, yeah.